Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
We've been discussing the fact that most men are lost, will be eternally lost. The Lord's statement, you recall, at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. We've sought to examine the reason why, and upon whom may we lay the responsibility for the lost condition of humanity. Now, when you really stop to think about it, God is right where He has always been. No question about that. Now, man is the one who has moved, who is alienated from his Maker. One of the reasons that most men are lost is the fact that they simply do not know that they are lost. They do not understand. They just assume that in the day of judgment, God is going to say to everybody, you know, just come on in. Friend, He can't do that. That's simply out of the question. It can't be done that way. Mankind is alienated from God. Now, we've covered this a number of times, but you recall the transgression of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Satan tempted Mother Eve. She ate of the forbidden fruit, and paradise was lost. They were driven from the garden, no longer had access to the tree of life. Now, God made a promise in Genesis 3, verse 15. When He's speaking, of course, to the serpent, He's addressing the devil. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Bible is the unfolding of the fulfillment of that promise. And Jesus Christ came and delivered a fatal blow to the head of Satan, as we've noted many times, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood. He also himself partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Christ came, and despite the influence of Satan in this old world, and he is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Oh, but despite the influence of Satan, Christ came and by his death and subsequent resurrection made available to me the source of life, giving me freedom from the guilt of sin, placing me in a conciliatory relationship with my Maker, the Heavenly Father, the Almighty God. Mankind, then, is separated from God? Yes, you recall Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death passed on to all men, for that all have sinned. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20 tells us, there's not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's out of the question. Without God, without the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, you stand, if you are a responsible human being, guilty before God. When you reach the age of accountability, unless you are cleansed in the blood of Christ, you're lost. Now, on occasion, of course, men say, and basically good men. We're not talking about bad people. Basically good people. Matter of fact, it's been my experience that just generally, people of the world are basically good. They are basically honest. I love that. I'm so thankful to God that such is the case. But a world in which to live, but good friend, that will not save you. No, no. That simply will not justify one in the eyes. Well, someone says, preacher, I know my heart. Jeremiah said? What is that? Chapter 17, verse 9? Check me out on these references. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? Oh, don't trust in your heart. No, as a matter of fact, the wise man said, did he not? Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Oh, I don't have knowledge of salvation. I have no idea what it would take to stand in a right relationship with God. Somebody said, yeah, but I'm a good person. Whoa. It doesn't matter how good you are. Mankind is in an alienated state. You remember Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. Sure, a devout man. I mean, he feared God with all his house. He gave much alms. He prayed always. Ooh, that's wonderful. A great he was told to go get Peter, and Peter would tell him words whereby he and his house could be saved. What? A devout man, feared God with all his house, prayed to God always, gave much alms to the people. Right. What did he need? Needed to be saved. You see, mankind is alienated from God. Good works, per se, will not bring me into a covenant relationship with the Almighty. Now, good works are wonderful. Oh, sure. Good works are required of the child of God. Yes, what Cornelius was doing should be done by every faithful child of God. But doing those things alone won't work. No, no. Christ had to come and die to make available salvation for sinners such as I. Indeed. You see, mankind is alienated from God. And until and unless he obeys the gospel, he gives his life in humble obedience to the Lord's will, there's no way he can be saved. No way. You see, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 5, verse 3, and his commandments are not grievous. I remember that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So then most people are not aware of the fact that they are actually alienated from God. They don't know that they really need salvation. Many just assume that when they stand before the Lord, he's just going to say, now come up, friend, it just doesn't work that way. But then there's another thing. Are you aware that salvation is located? And that sounds strange to a lot of people. Somebody says, oh, well, now, this is kind of an ethereal thing, you know, it's just all over. No. The Bible is very specific in its instruction and teaching. Salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. Oh, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. You remember that Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So then salvation is located in Christ. Well, now someone said, preacher, that just means that salvation is found, through Christ, and he made it available by his death and buried. No, that's in the locative case. Salvation is located. Salvation is found in Christ. 1 John 5, verse 11. The witness is this, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Oh, there's no question about that. In whom we have our redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians 1, at verse 7. Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ. That's Ephesians 1 at verse 3. All spiritual blessings are located. They are found only in Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, there are many blessings in this whole world. Oh, God feeds us. We see the beauty of his handiwork. Ooh, it is a marvelous world in which, but spiritually, all spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ. I need to understand that. Yes, sir. Didn't Peter say, standing before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court under Roman dominion, of course, this is the stone which was set at naught of you the builders, which has become the head of the corner, and in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven wherein you must be saved. Salvation is located in no place other than in Jesus Christ. And you know another factor. One of the basic reasons mankind is lost, and as we said, number one, he doesn't know that he's lost. He doesn't know that he needs salvation. Number two is that he thinks that salvation is kind of a general thing, and one of these days we'll stand before, no, salvation is located. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Oh, but number three, men simply do not appreciate, they cannot seemingly embrace. There's no problem with comprehension or understanding. Oh, but intellectually, they do not embrace the Lord's instruction upon which I may be recipient of this salvation. I remember that Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Oh, yeah, but now, Lord, we have a lot of good people, benevolent people, sacrificial people. I mean, people that help others, that are. That's fine. And we're grateful that that's the case, but that won't work. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Oh, and He pointed out also to the believer, except you repent, you'll perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, and we've noticed already that Paul made that statement. Acts 17, verse 30, at the times of the Jairus, therefore, God overlooked. Oh, but now, He commanded that men everywhere should repent. All men everywhere should repent, right? Why? Oh, inasmuch as He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised him from the dead. Oh, then believing penitent is to confess Jesus Christ before men. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the tongue confession is made unto salvation. Oh, what is the confession that a penitent believer should make? Acts chapter 8, verse 37. You remember at verse 35, Philip began at Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8, and preached to that Ethiopian nobleman, Christ, Jesus. Or as the one on the way that came to a certain water, the eunuch said, behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, that's the confession. It commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. This fellow's rejoicing. How so? I mean, why is he saved? How do you know he's saved? Oh, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, of course, shall be condemned. Mark 16 and verse 16. Now, it is amazing. One of the reasons that most men are lost is that they think the Lord's plan of salvation is folly. As a matter of fact, a lot of intelligent preachers will tell their audiences, no, now, baptism is irrelevant, non-essential, or non-necessary. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Oh, sure, you should be baptized. But you need to be saved and then be baptized because you are a friend. You couldn't read that in Poor Richard's Almanac, let alone the Word of God. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Acts 17, verse 11, you do that. Don't you take my word. You check it out. Sure, give attention, listen to it, but be sure that you check it out. Base your faith upon a thus saith the Lord. There is no redemption for those who allow themselves to be misled by false teachers. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Why, certainly, more false teachers than those who teach the truth. And I need to be sure that I examine what I hear of a religious nature in light of what the Lord has said in His Word. And the Lord's Word is simple. Rightly divided, put it together as it's written. The sum of thy word is truth, Psalms 119, verse 160. But it is amazing, isn't it? You hear intelligent men say, well, that's foolish. I mean, that's shallow. I mean, that has no significance. Oh, you see, that's a lack of faith. We don't understand how God deals with man. Well, that's why Paul made that statement in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, isn't it? What did he say? The word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Wait a minute. To whom is the word of the cross foolishness? Those who are going to lose their souls. You see, they pay no attention to it. In verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, behold your calling, brethren, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That's tragic. Why so? Well, men say, well, that's, you know, what's the connection here? I mean, why do, friends, salvation is by faith. Now, it's interesting, if you backed up there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, to verse 24, you would observe that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Oh, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Wait. Paul, are you saying that God does something foolish? No. That which man thinks is foolish, that which God has required, which man assumes to be foolish, is far wiser than anything man ever could have dreamed up. Yes, sir. Oh, and what man and his wisdom assumes that God has stated, that's weak and that has no power, that's of no value, that's stronger than anything man ever thought of. You see, salvation is by faith. And if you read right on, it says God chose the foolish things of the world that he might bring to naught the things that are wise. Oh, and God chose the weak things of the world that he might bring to naught the things that are strong. And God chose the foolish things, the things that are despised, the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. Why? Well, verse 29, that no flesh should glory before God. Wait a minute. Salvation is by faith. Right. Oh, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What did God say? Oh, that's what I want to do. That's called faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11. It is amazing that men will say, well, preacher, being dipped in the water has nothing to do with the remission of sins. It has all to do with it. Say, it's at that point that you reach the blood of Christ. Blood was shed in his death, John 19:34. You're baptized into his death, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Well, that's why you come forth out of the waters of baptism, a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Oh, that's why when you are raised from the watery tomb, the old man of sin is gone away. Yes, sir. You arise to walk in newness of life, verse 4, Romans chapter 6. Well, somebody says, but that's, friend, the Old Testament was written for our learning. And it provides many lessons for us. Do you remember 2 Kings chapter 5? A fellow, captain of the host of the king of Syria, a mighty man of valor, had leprosy. What? He had leprosy. Ooh, incurable disease. Then and now. And you remember, of course, the circumstances were such that he finally stood at the door of the house of Elisha the prophet in Samaria. Oh, Elisha sent a little servant out and said, go down and wash 7 times the River Jordan, you'll be clean. Naaman went away in a rage. That's your decision, Naaman. That's fine. That's all right. You can die a leper. It's your choice. You see, same thing today. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Your choice. Somebody says, well, what God says is irrelevant, honor says, it's your choice. You see, it's up to you. Your salvation is a decision that you must make. The damnation of your soul is a decision that you have made. There's no question about that. God cannot do your thinking for you. He can do everything within his power, as we've shown. Let his son die a horrible death of crucifixion. Friends, he can work to the end that you may stand just, but you must make the decision. Well, old Naaman, of course, his servants came to him and they said, Lord, Father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Yes, sir. That's what he's looking for. He's captain of the host of the king of Syria. He's a mighty man of valor. He's outstanding. Hey, you're a leper. He was looking for something that would make him look good. You know, ego is going to send a lot of people to hell. And say, oh, that's beneath my dignity. Friend, you better wake up and understand that salvation is by faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing not by what I thought God should have said, and I'm just now reminded him. No. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 7. Well, anyway, old Naaman went down to the River Jordan, stripped himself in the sight of the dignitaries that were with him, and he dipped himself once, twice, three, four, five, six times, and the leprosy is still there. Dipped himself the 7th time when he came up. His flesh was as it was in the days of his youth. He was healed. Somebody says, how in the world did that work? By the power of God. Well, why would Naaman go down and dip in the River Jordan? It's called faith. God said to. Oh, well, now somebody says there's power in the waters of Jordan. You'd have leper colonies all up and down that little valley. No, sir. There's no power, no virtue in the waters of Jordan to cure leprosy. Why was Naaman cured? God said he would be. When was he cured? When he did what God said. Yeah, but that's foolish. Call it what you want to. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You see? friends, salvation is by faith. You remember old Joshua? Yeah, he led the children of Israel across the River Jordan, and they were going to conquer the land that flowed with milk and honey. The first city they coveted was the high-walled, well-fortified, heavily armed city of Jericho. Ooh, I'm sure he's a military strategist. He probably has some ideas about this thing, but hey, in chapter 6 of Joshua, God said today, I've given this city into thy hand. Anyway, I've given this city into thy hands. Old Joshua sat down on a rock, folded his hands, said, now, Lord, when you plan to deliver? No, Lord didn't stop there. He said, you arrange your men in this order. The fighting men, the seven priests blowing ram's horns, the Ark of the Covenant, the nucleus, the balance of Israel bringing up the rearward. Now, he said, in that order, march them around the city one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march them around 7 times. Oh, let the priests blow long on the ram's horns, and the people give a great shout, and the walls will fall down flat. And Joshua's flat on the ground laughing. He's military man. Lord, what are you... No, sir. No, sir. Joshua began immediately to arrange his men as God had prescribed, and they went around that city one time each day. Well, somebody says, preacher, that is ridiculous. No, that's called faith. Have you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30? Oh, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days. When did the walls of Jericho fall down? When Joshua did what God said. Well, what's that called? Well, let me ask you. Why would you try to take a city by marching around it 6 times and then 7 times and shouting and blowing? And, well, friend, that wall would... Why would you... Oh, God said to. Friend, when you do what God said, that's called faith. This is a thing that many people simply do not understand. Why be baptized? God Almighty said to. Somebody says, well, what is the connection between being dipped in the water and the remission of sins? Well, absolutely none. No. It's 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5, isn't it? Or 1 Corinthians, check me out. Oh, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for their foolishness to him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Oh, then salvation is by faith. Right. That simply means that I give my life to the Lord, just do what he said. Yeah, but somebody says, I'll be ridiculed. You better believe it. Yes, sir. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall reproach you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Yes, sir. Oh, that's Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Oh, yes. You're going to suffer persecution when you walk with the Lord because the intelligent world thinks that's foolish. There's going to be a judgment. Yes, sir. Men will not today accept the Lord's instruction. Well, that's why they are alienated from God. That's why they are lost. But you know, the Lord wants me to understand, and we've already hinted at this a time or two, that I'm responsible. God has done everything within His power. The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Titus 2, verse 11. Somebody says, well, then why did the Lord say most men are lost? Matthew 7, 13 and 14. It's that next word. The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, etc. So the grace of God gives instruction through which I can stand in a right relationship with God. Correct. What do I do with that instruction? Just obey it. Just do what He said. Makes it very, very simple. God's done His part. Oh, Jesus Christ, as we noted, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He's done everything within His power. My move. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Oh, Matthew 7 at verse 21. Friends, by faith, we simply comply with the Lord's instruction. I am responsible. The Lord wants me to understand that. When He said through Paul, so that each one of us shall give account of himself unto God in the day of judgment, Romans 14, verse 12, that includes me. And I'm going to account in what way? the deeds that I've done, whether or not I have obeyed the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 10. The basis of that judgment, the good news, the gospel. Romans 12, verse 48. The Lord makes that very clear. He that rejected me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. May God bless.